The Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray in the same words as Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to intercede for us that we may learn about the gift of living in the divine will, that we may gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of this divine science. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think today we are in volume 27.
December 25th, 1929, volume 27. My daughter, my birth in time was the rebirth of my divine will in my humanity. And since it was reborn in me, it brought the good news of its rebirth in the human generations. My fiat is eternal, but it can be said that it is as though born in Adam in order to form the long generation of its rebirth in the creature. But since Adam rejected this divine will, by rejecting it, he prevented the many rebirths it was to have in each creature. And with constant and invincible love, it, my divine will, waited for my humanity in order to be born again in the midst of the human family. Therefore, everything I did in the entire course of my life, the baby tears, my moans and wailings, were nothing other than rebirths of my divine will that were formed in me so as to have it being reborn in creatures, because my divine will, being reborn in me and in possessing it as my own, I had the right and the power to give it and make it be born again in the creature. Therefore, everything that my humanity would do, steps, works, words, pains, and even my breath and my very death, formed as many rebirths of my divine will for as many creatures, would have had the good of the rebirth of my divine fiat. Since I am the head of the human family and it my members, I as the head with my acts kept calling the many rebirths of my divine volition within me to have it pass to be reborn in my members, the creatures. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. This is only an extract of that passage that talks about Adam. In that passage, the Lord is telling us how in each act that he did, in everything that he was doing in his humanity, in everything that his divinity was doing in his humanity, he was basically reordering the human will with the divine will. To understand this, we really have to understand the book of Genesis, chapter 1, 2, and 3. How Adam was created, how the first man was created in union with God, that for him to act in this way, it was natural. That's why it is called the original state of holiness, or the state of justice, the state of happiness, different ways in which the church in the catechism talks about this original state in which Adam was created. So we need to understand how he was created and then to understand the gift that God gave us, that he endowed us with the gift of the free will. And it was the misuse of that free will, that act of misusing that will, that freedom that he gave to Adam, which it was a test that made him lose that union, the two wills. So now the human will is disorganized. We see all the consequences, and we see how the humanity is being degraded now. So what our Lord Jesus is explaining basically here in this passage is that with everything that he did, everything is meant to reorganize the human will with the divine. And this was done already in the person of our Lord Jesus. He did it already. And he is telling us, since he is the head of the human family, all the members participate of what the head has done, basically. Just in the same way as we all participate of the sin, even though it's not our fault, but we participate of the consequences because Adam was the depositary of that humanity. And now Jesus, our Lord Jesus, by taking on our humanity, now he is reordering everything with everything he did. And he mentions that everything he did, he mentions the steps, the words, the pain, and everything, every single breath that his divinity was doing in his humanity was meant to reorganize. We can look more closely into that with the hours of the Passion. In the hours of the Passion, our Lord Jesus really explains why he had to be crucified, why he had to, they have to take away, to strip him of his clothes so that he could redo all the things that by taking that physical part, that visible part of his clothing, he was paying to God the Father for all the things that a human will has done. So basically, he is taking away his human will, getting rid of his human will. So in the hours of the Passion, we see in a very special way why he did all of these things, to redo men, basically. And even in the Gospels, if we go back, every single miracle that our Lord Jesus did, it was meant to redo man, so that the whole human race may be able to regain the sight. We may be able to regain now the hearing, so we may be able to hear God again, so that we don't, so that we may start walking towards him. We see how he heals the lepers, how he gives sight to the blind, how he makes the paralytic walk, because this is what happened when Adam disobeyed. We became spiritually blind, deaf, paralytic, crippled. So at the spiritual level, we can see how he is redoing man, and also at the physical level. So what he is explaining to us here in this particular passage, it really makes sense. If we look at this passage and then we see in the Gospels how he was reorganizing everything. So why? Because he is the head of the human family. So in reality, the first Adam, as we mentioned, as we referred to Adam at the beginning, we often refer of Jesus as the second Adam. But in reality, the first Adam, as we know Adam in the book of Genesis, was created in the image of the second Adam, which existed before the first one was created. So that's why he is the head of the human family, really. But Adam was the depositary of this humanity. And by losing that gift, then we see the consequences. But now Jesus has reorganized basically the human will with the divine, and he has opened the door for all of us so that we may become one of the many. So in that way, we see how the church is right also in the Catechism in 381. That yes, he is the first one now, and we are called to be one of those many people that this is the first sanctity, and this is the design that God had in mind since the beginning, and that Adam, by disobeying, he put a pause. But now God has found a way since the beginning. He knew that he will be able to bring us back, but he gave us that freedom. He had to give us that freedom. Otherwise, everything will be all the love that he was receiving from the creatures at the beginning. It will not be a free love. It will not be a true love. It will be forced. So he had to give us this freedom so that we may exercise this freedom out of our own freedom. St. Paul, in the letter to the Romans 8:29, I want to go to that passage. He says the following. I'm going to start from 19. It says, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who rejected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning with labor pains together until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit growing inwardly, as we wait for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." Then later on, St. Paul says in 26, "Likewise, the Spirit help us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Spirit knows." I want to stay in that with that simple phrase. We do not know how to pray as we ought to pray. Because we are talking about the first sanctity, the state of grace in which Adam was created. So Adam was not praying novenas. He was not praying the rosary. This kind of prayer didn't exist. How was he praying? Everything that he was doing became a prayer. Because he had the constant awareness of the presence of God in every single act that he was doing. What later on in the 1600s, Brother Lawrence discovered when he entered into the monastery, thinking that he was going to offer his life in sacrifice and suffering, and he finds out that it's not really a suffering. It is a joy. That whether he's in the chapel praying the liturgy of the hours, or he's in the kitchen peeling potatoes, cleaning floors, washing dishes, if he has the constant awareness of the presence of God, that becomes a prayer. So how St. Paul says that we do not know how to pray as we ought to pray. And we ought to pray in this way. We ought to be in union with God's will so that everything we do becomes a prayer. Then we really find the meaning of what St. Paul is talking about. Because the way we ought to pray, the way God designed for all of us to pray, it was a simple way, just by being united, by virtue of being united with his will. And the Holy Spirit, St. Paul says, help us, intercedes for us with signs too deep for words. So even for us that we know the gift of living in the divine will, that we know these writings and we take some time to study those, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit because our Lord Jesus entrusted his church to the third person of the Trinity. And he tells his disciples that he will not leave them orphans. That when the Holy Spirit comes, he will tell them, he will remind them. So in reality, we can say that this is the second Pentecost. These writings, this is the second Pentecost. And every time you do acts in union with the will of God, you are receiving this new infusion, the new breath of the Holy Spirit moment by moment. He's recreating every single act that you are doing, which is human. The Holy Spirit recreates that. And he gives the value of a divine act. We pray, this is the answer of that prayer that the church has been praying. Come, O Holy Spirit, and renew the face of the earth. Come and everything will be recreated. But what needs to be recreated is the acts of the person. Because creation is fixed in the will of God. And naturally, we can see things die in the winter, and they come back in spring. So it's a cycle. They are fixed in the will of God. But we go in and out. And some of us, we are not really in. And those who do not know about this gift, what about them? And what about those who do not believe in God? So we really need to pray so that we may arrive to the possession. This is something that we read in this passage. This is what the Lord says. Being born in me and in possessing the divine will as my own, I have the right and the power to give it and make it. Born again in creatures. This is a very important word, possessing. Because we are called to possess the will of God 24/7 in us. I'm not saying that the other prayers, I'm not saying for you to stop praying with the other prayers. No. Those prayers should help us to arrive to the possession of the gift that we lost with the fall. All of those, there is a passage in the book of heaven. If I remember correct, I think it's at the end of volume 15, one entry before the last entry in volume 15, in which the Lord talks about the gift of the divine will as being the royal way. The other sanctities, everything that the church is being teaching us up to this point, they are ways to come to know God in the possession. But the gift of the divine will, these writings, is the royal way. That's how our Lord Jesus mentions that. He calls it the royal way to arrive. And what he wants for all the human race, since he is the head of the human family, he wants to give us that. And he has the right, and he can, because he is divine. And he has taken our humanity, he has reordered that humanity so that our humanity now, using our free will that he gave us, now we come back to that order, to that state, to that possession in which we were created. That's the whole point. And we enter now, as he mentions, that with every single step, with everything that we do. That's why it's important also to have those dispositions in our heart, in our soul. What are the dispositions? Every time that we read, we dispose ourselves to receive knowledge. Every time that we unite ourselves with the will of God, is creating the disposition in our hearts so that our soul may be expanded, amplified, to receive what God wants to give. And he wants this for the whole human race. But he says also that he's so patient. He's patient itself, so that he is willing to wait as long as it takes. When creatures, they come and they recognize. So how blessed that we are that these writings, they have come to us, that we have discovered them, that the Holy Spirit praying in us, breathing, palpitating, moving in us, have led us to these writings. And now that we study them, we know now what St. Paul meant when he said that we do not know how we are to pray. Because the way we are to pray is with every single act. Every single act should be a prayer. And this is how the Holy Spirit works in us. So that's one part. The other part is in Colossians 1, 5 to 20. Let me go in there. Since he is telling us that he is the head of the human family, and therefore, since he has reordered this humanity, he is able and willing to give it to us also. This is exactly what St. Paul says. He's referring to Christ. He says he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the church? All the baptized. All those who are baptized, they are part of the church, members of the church. And St. Paul tells us he is the head. As he says, he is the head of the human family. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That in everything he may have the preeminent, for in him all fullness, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. This is one of the missions of our Lord Jesus when taking our humanity, to reconcile what was broken in the fall by the human will, departing from that union in which Adam was created. Now, our Lord Jesus, by being obedient, as St. Paul will tell us, by emptying himself and being obedient, dead until death, death on the cross, he reconciled everything, all things. He says, whether on earth or in heaven. That's why even in the crucifixion, you see that even nature feels the reconciliation. Even nature feels the reconciliation. In one of the writings also, our Lord talks about nature paying homage to him. The birds singing and wanting to give homage to him in his humanity. And he said, I even have to tell them, to order them to go away. So, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now that he reconciled us, that's not the whole story. That's not the end of the story. Because the work of our Lord Jesus Christ was to reconcile us, but that's not the end, because redemption is only one part, one step further for us to receive this gift. The final end is for us to possess this gift right here on earth, as Adam possessed it. And by doing that, of course, everything will is already reversed. By doing this, by the creature arriving at this reality, just give me a second, please. Okay. Too much light in my face. By the creature arriving to this possession, then in that way, he's crushing the head of the serpent. Because he's giving to us what the devil sought to take away from us. And this is a great humiliation, because now we not only have the possession of this gift in us, but we now know God in a human way, and we have it in the sacrament, able to be fed with God. He's now able to give us that sharing, that participation at every moment, not only when we go to the sacraments, but at every single moment by virtue of that union. That's why this is the greatest gift. And all the devotions and everything that the church has given us, they all should bring us to this point, to the possession. To the possession of the gift operating in us. as it was operating in Adam, as it was operating in the humanity of our Lord and in the humanity of the Blessed Mothers by grace, and for us by learning how we can arrive to this as Luisa arrived. So you see that this everything is connected basically. All of this is connected. So you see what God wants to give us. So who will have the heart to say no? I think it's in the book of Revelation that our Lord says, behold, I knocked. I'm standing and knock in your door. If you open the door, I will come and dine with you. So this is the invitation, and this is really, in this way, we can discover, we can see how the book of heaven, these writings, they are so intertwined with sacred scriptures. And by looking at the book of heaven, we understand even sacred scripture. For me, it's very clear that now we know the original way of praying. When St. Paul says, we do not know how we ought to pray. But now the Holy Spirit has led us to this point. Now we know that we ought to pray with every single act. And to arrive to that step, we need to surrender our will, unite our will to the Lord. And again, every morning when we get up, we offer our prevenient act, and we have that constant awareness of the will of God operating in us, in our actions. Then the Holy Spirit is present there, recreating those human acts, giving them the value of a divine act. And with that, that becomes a prayer. That's why it's so important to be in the state of grace and to have those dispositions so that the Holy Spirit is free to operate in us. So let's go to the catechism. I want to go in four, I think it's 404, in which the catechism talks a little bit about this. If you have time, please look at this passage in 404. In that, the catechism talks about how through Adam, all the descendants of Adam, they participate from the consequences. All the human race participates of the consequence of that act of disobedience. Why? Because Adam was the depositary of this gift, so he transmitted the consequence as he would have transmitted this possession, the possession of this gift, if he had remained faithful or in that union of the divine will. And it was through an act. The catechism says it was through one act that he did this. So if you have time, just look at that catechism of the Catholic Church, number 404. We have time to go one of the letters.